Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Want to cut your heating costs this season? With a highly efficient York heating and air conditioning system, you can save up to 50% in energy costs while enjoying tax credits and TVA energy rate rebates as much as $3,000. Your local York dealer. Visit harbinair.com to schedule a free evaluation of your system.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What's up? Welcome in, everybody. I know there is a pretty intense football game going on right now. The NFL playoffs have delivered this week, and so if you're here watching live, I appreciate you stepping away from that. Baltimore's got the ball down 5 in the fourth quarter in a snowy Buffalo. So again, if you're here and you're not watching that, I thank you very much for doing that. Welcome into the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. We got a couple of things. I got my own name wrong. That's the kind of day I've had today. Just getting my own name wrong. We got a couple of things to talk about. Ole Miss basketball suffers their first SEC loss of the season yesterday in overtime in Starkville. I recorded a post-game show for you, and for whatever reason, the software, like the, it wasn't on my end, it was the upload software, and just, it wouldn't let me upload it, so it was all for naught. So we're going to talk about that game tonight, and also Ole Miss adds another wide receiver via transfer portal. There are still some questions about position groups on this roster going into 2025. You know, with the spring portal window still having not happened, the offensive weapons are not a problem, especially after this addition. So we'll talk about both of those right here on this podcast. Please don't forget, by the way, to subscribe. If you are watching or listening on YouTube, whether it be right here with me or on Super Talk's YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. If you want the audio version, you should check that out. Just search Rebel Report wherever you get them. And subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Follow me on social media. Just search my name. That's all you got to do. Follow me there. Like, subscribe, leave a comment, all that good stuff. And before we get into it, I want to tell you that this edition of the podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory, he's in Fulton, but he can take care of you anywhere in Mississippi for personal injury. If you've been personally injured, I know we've got Snowpocalypse 2025 coming this week, but if you have been personally injured, he will still take your phone call despite the weather. 662-397-9799 for personal injury. 662-397-9799. Also, if you're a small business owner or you want to start a small business and you don't really know what to do from a legal perspective, or you, again, are a small business owner and you have a need for some legal advice, call that number, 662-397-9799. The Gregory Law Firm presenting the Rebel Report. So Ole Miss loses 84-81 in overtime to Mississippi State in what was a hostile environment, a really good environment. Those are two really good basketball teams. As we've talked about going into it, I think Mississippi State is good. I think they're a very clearly they're going to make the tournament, barring some kind of collapse or knock on wood on so it doesn't happen, of course. A string of injuries, they're a tournament team. Ole Miss is the same thing. I think that was a heavyweight fight, if you will, punch, counterpunch, especially in the second half, between two teams that are going to make the tournament. Two very good basketball teams played, and Ole Miss ended up falling short to Mississippi State. And there's two ways you can look at this game if you want to. There's the positive spin, and then there's the negative spin, and the truth probably being somewhere in the middle, as always. The positive spin, if you want it, is, again, hostile environment against a team that kind of had to have that one, right? State had lost two in a row, you know, to Kentucky close, and then at Auburn, and, you know, it's a rivalry game, and their backs were kind of against the wall, especially now that they've got Tennessee coming up as well. Lose that game, and you could have had a real slide, a really concerning slide. So, again, on the road, hostile environment against a team that really needed that one. You get off to a really slow start, and yet instead of letting the environment consume them, instead of having that, oh, it's just not our night, and kind of quitting after getting down big early, They fought their way back, and they fought their way back, and they forced some turnovers, and they made big shots, and Morrell forces overtime, which was a pretty awesome moment. Would have been better if they had won the game, but they do all those things. They battle back. You get a really nice night from Brakefield, and you just come up short. But what you learned in that game, or at least what I think you should have learned in that game, is what happened on Tuesday is not just that's basketball, fluky, they got one over on Alabama. This Ole Miss team is very good. I think that this week going 1-1, I mean, think about the conversation that we were having on Sunday going into this week, a week just 7 days prior. If I'd have told you they're going to go 1-1 this week and the other game's going to go to overtime, what would you have thought? Right? So it's a successful week. There is no football mentality here. You are going to lose games in basketball sometimes. I think they confirmed to you that this is a very good basketball team that is poised and should, again, knock on wood, barring injuries, they should make the tournament. The schedule is difficult because the SEC is brutal, but you only need to find four more wins on this thing. So I think they proved a lot and they showed a lot, despite not playing their best offensive basketball on Tuesday night and getting off to a really pathetic start, to be quite honest, yesterday, and not executing in a lot of areas to get to the point where they were, to be in overtime, to have a shot at that game, to have a break or two go their way, leading to a 2-0 week, is very positive and very encouraging for this basketball team. So it's a successful week. It's a good week. You would have taken 1-1 for sure. Coming back home with A&M on Wednesday, what should be a really good environment at 4-1 it's really good. You should feel really good about your basketball team right now, despite the loss and all of that. So that's the positive spin. The negative spin is the slow starts have finally caught up to them. That was an especially bad start. They have done it in all of their games so far. They cannot continue to get off to bad offensive starts like the one that they got off to in Starkville. They have survived it to this point, but the SEC is too good. You can't afford a slow start on Wednesday even. This is a good Texas A&M team that's healthy now. They have got to start better. They have got to execute better offensively to start games, or else they're going to continue to find themselves in holes, and they're not going to be able to climb out of all of them. They play good defense, and by and large, I think they played good defense the other night as well. I know they gave up 84 points, but they forced 15 Mississippi State turnovers. They were able to get some stops. They were fine again on Saturday, but they're not going to be able to just defend themselves out of every single hole that they create for themselves. And they created a hole for themselves, and it ultimately cost them. Just average execution to start, and maybe they win that game. So the bad starts finally caught up to them. They got punked. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but they got beat up by Mississippi State. 19 offensive rebounds by Mississippi State. And I know State's like long and physical and athletic. Like, this is a good basketball team. But getting out-rebounded 51-29, but giving up 19 offensive rebounds, that's deeply concerning, because I know, again, there's some of it. Ole Miss had to play a lot of small ball lineups because State was able to just get Dia out of the game, and that's another thing we'll get to in a second. But State physically imposed their will on Ole Miss a lot. Now, I know sometimes there were offensive rebounds where the miss, like, went long off the rim and stuff, but you guys saw it. State was more physical from the jump. They took it to Ole Miss, and they punched them in the mouth. And you just can't overcome 19 offensive rebounds. And that was a big, big problem. And then, of course, Malik Dia and Chris Beard had some talking to his team through the media quotes after the game. But one in particular about him was not pleased at all. Malik Dia did not match Mississippi State's physicality, was not effective in that way. And they kind of rattled him a little bit, it seemed. And they were able to really frustrate him, and it looked like he was almost kind of allowing that frustration to build and affect his play on the court. They need more from him. They need to be able to have a physical presence, and he's the guy on this team that can provide that. The small ball lineups worked. I mean, it was the right call to not play Dia down the stretch, clearly, because, again, the small ball lineups worked, but you need him to not allow somebody like Mississippi State or anybody moving forward to kind of rattle him the way he appeared to be rattled in that game. He did make a couple of big shots. Like, he wasn't a total bust or anything like that, but he can, most certainly, he can play better than he did. But he's got to do it if they're going to win games on the road like that. And then some late execution. I thought that in crunch time, State just executed better than Ole Miss. I know Matt Morrell made the three to force overtime, but there was the layup that he should have dunked. And I know there's, I guess, questions about his health, but you've got to dunk that basketball. That's a 5-point swing. I mean, that might be the ball game right there. You can't lay that up. You've got to dunk that basketball. There was a poorly, an ill-advised three from Padula there as well. Mississippi State just executed better. That they got an offensive rebound that they needed in overtime. Things like that. The crunch time execution for Ole Miss was not there on Saturday. So the truth somewhere in the middle. It's a good, a very good team. They still have flaws that they can play better than they did yesterday, for sure. It's a successful week, but they've got to start games better, and you got to be tougher, because Mississippi State was tougher than Ole Miss on Saturday. But you really have to like how they handled the week. So again, truth somewhere in the middle. There's positive spin. There's negative spin. The truth, right there in the middle. It's a very good basketball team, and I like a lot of what I saw from them this week, and I expect them to come back on Wednesday and play well and win that game, quite frankly. So we'll turn the page to football. Ole Miss gets a commitment, or I guess a signature, or whatever we're calling it now, from Harrison Wallace. He was the butt of a few jokes, not his fault, that I made on the radio show with Hey Dad, because the second the playoff ended, in which Penn State only targeted a receiver one time in the second half of a playoff game, he hits the portal, and I brought that up to Haydad, and I was like, why would he leave? What happened? It's a good pickup for Ole Miss. Penn State's Harrison Wallace, he had 720 yards receiving this year on 16 per reception, was Penn State's leading receiver. Listen, at 6'1", 200. Having to play in that offense with that quarterback and putting up those numbers, I think, is impressive. If we're going to be totally honest, it's a very good pickup. He played in a bad offense with a bad quarterback, and for some reason he's continuing to get NFL buzz. And I don't know how you can, I mean, I know the size, right, is intoxicating, and you're watching Josh Allen play right now, and you know, every big quarterback apparently is just going to turn into Josh Allen, but, no, Drew Aller's not that guy, and he has certainly not been that guy in college. So I think that he is more talented than his production would tell you over his few years at Penn State. Ole Miss was able to lock him down before he even visited South Carolina. I know that there are people that are saying that, you know, South Carolina didn't want him or whatever. I hate that stuff. This was a good pickup. A lot of people wanted Harrison Wallace. He got a ton of offers the second he hit the portal. And now he is going to Ole Miss. And I love is a strong word. I really like the weapons that Austin Simmons is going to have. You've got DeJon Stribling from Oklahoma State, who I really like. You've got Harrison Wallace now from Penn State. I think both of those guys are going to be your outside receivers. Obviously, Caden Lee returning, who everybody that has watched Ole Miss understands what his potential is, but it's not even potential anymore. Just true production, doesn't drop the ball, runs really good routes. You have to love the tight end room with Daquan Wright returning, adding the Arkansas transfer to that room, and they added another one for depth as well. So you like the tight end room. You should really like the wide receivers. And I mean, now you've got a situation in which somebody like Deuce Alexander from Wake Forest, you know, when they signed him, you shouldn't expect – I'm really fumbling over my words tonight, guys. When they added him, the take was, you know, that's a depth piece anyway. But you've got quality depth now at slot. You've got quality depth now on the outside as well with Ray, the West Virginia transfer. You've got high upside with little production from Odom. And now you've got a couple of blue-chip wide receivers from the high school ranks that come in. And, you know, they very well, Caleb Cunningham very well could come in and start right away and play a ton of snaps. But now, based on what they've added, you don't feel like you have to force that if he's not ready, if that makes sense. So you should love the depth at receiver. You've got high-end talent out of the portal. You've got returning talent. You've got experienced quality depth. You've got incoming talented high school players. It's a really nice receiver room paired with a tight end room. None of it matters if they don't get better on the offensive line. And as you guys know, if you listen to me every day, I'm very much in wait and see mode on that. I'm not going to tell you that they're going to be better on the offensive line because we'll just wait and see. The portal has not had a plethora of quality offensive linemen for them to add. I do think that they've got both of their tackles returning, so that should help. But none of what I just said matters unless they get better on the offensive line, and we won't know if they've gotten better on the offensive line until week two of this season. So you got to sit back and wait on that one. But you should like the weapons at wide receiver and tight end for sure. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. Get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need, what your business needs, and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority by being right next to Topgolf here in the area. But no, they make you their priority. They've got a great online banking platform. They have local loan servicing and decision-making, and there's 16 locations here in Mississippi. So there's very likely to be one in your backyard. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. First message says, I think basketball will be 20 in the AP poll. I mean, they should jump, right? I mean, the net jump. That tells you how, I don't want to say inconsequential a loss is, because they had a chance to win. They couldn't capitalize on those chances. They missed opportunities, played well late, so on and so forth. But how in basketball, sometimes losing just does not hurt you at all. Their net improved after the game. They moved up three spots in the net after that loss. And some of their wins are actually improving. Like Louisville is now looking like a really good win. That Alabama win, guys, is going to carry so much weight. That is going to be like a big highlighted point on Ole Miss's resume come tournament time if they can continue to play like this. Because that's a really good Alabama team. Going to Kentucky and beating them the way they did, man, that's a good team. So I know people like polls and rankings, but all that matters is net, and all that matters is the bracketology. And right now the metrics really like Ole Miss. Their wins are getting better. They're 13 in the net, which is just awesome. Let's see. I'll pull that up right now. Actually, I should have had that up for you already to tell you what the rest of the SEC is like. Give me just a second here. Auburn number one, by the way. They'll be in Oxford on the first. So that's that'll be a massive, massive game on that Saturday. Just a massive game. Let's see here. I'm going to scroll down to the SEC. Please forgive me. All right. Auburn 1, Tennessee 4, Florida 5, Alabama 7 right now in the net. So Ole Miss has a road win at number 7 in the net, just how big that is. Kentucky 12, Ole Miss 13, State 16. So Ole Miss, it's just amazing how the metrics work. Ole Miss moved up more spots than State did when State beat Ole Miss, the road home thing. Texas A&M is 20. In the net. So an opportunity for a quad one home win for Ole Miss on Wednesday night. Missouri 24. That's coming up on Saturday. Georgia 27. So you want Georgia to keep playing and keep winning and staying in that quad one zone for Ole Miss. Vanderbilt 37. Texas 40. They'll be in Oxford coming up here soon. Oklahoma 49. Arkansas 56. So they're hanging on at the moment. That still, despite their record, will be a good win for the metrics for Ole Miss. LSU at 69, South Carolina at 91. So, again, the league is just absolutely nuts. But right now, I mentioned that win for Ole Miss over Louisville. Louisville right now is 29 in the net. So that is very comfortably in the quad one road win category for Ole Miss right now. So that win is really helping them. right now. BYU's at 46. So that's a win that will look good as well, it being a neutral site. So they're in good shape. They're in really good shape right now. Good to see you, Jerry. You're going to get some snow down there in Pascagoula, man. So it's funny, the further south you go in Mississippi, the more snow we're going to get this time. So last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, you know, North Mississippi got snow and us down here didn't get any. Now South Mississippi's getting snow. New Orleans is going to get like 5 inches of snow. And we, like, as you move north, it's less and less and less. But anyway. Finally, the horrible starts come back to bite Ole Miss. Absolutely. Watching the Bills game, too. Well, I've got the game tracker right now. And 8-point game with 3 minutes left. And Baltimore's driving. 19 degrees and snowing. What are we doing here right now? Why am I? We might cut this off early. I'm not joking because I kind of want to see the end of that game. Both flaws that Ole Miss has were exposed versus State. Offensive plays poorly in first half and got manhandled on the boards. Yeah, you could tell that Chris Beard was very displeased with Malik Dia, both during the game and then in comments after the game. Dia's got State threw a lot at him, and he didn't match that toughness. There was a lot more to that loss than just Malik Dia, of course. So I'm not just blaming him, but there was some displeasure there. Late Happy New Year. We actually debated on the show, Haydad and I did, about when you should stop wishing people Happy New Year. That was kind of fun. We have fun sometimes. Ole Miss did get exposed, but at the same time, they were impressive to me to force it to overtime and blew a couple opportunities to win the game. This is a really good team. I do think Ole Miss will win the second matchup in Oxford. Typically goes that way anyways. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the exact opposite of what happened last year. All right. The same thing that happened last year, but just flipping the teams. State really had to fight like hell to beat Ole Miss at home. Ole Miss really had to fight like hell to beat Mississippi State last year. They went on the road and got smoked. I kind of have a feeling the same thing's going to happen here. State had to fight like hell at home to beat Ole Miss. They're going to go to Oxford and get beat, just like Ole Miss did last year. But Brakefield is not being talked about much, but Brakefield is playing really good right now. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I actually don't use TikTok. I've been told that I need to. Apparently, there's a lot of money to be made there producing content. I have not opened that box yet. There's only so much I can do in a day. You know, day job, which is the radio show, and then this podcast is also part of my day job. But day job, radio show, five-year-old podcast, you know, adding another thing might just be a bridge too far. State fan here. If you watch that whole second half, Ole Miss loves to switch. Basically, in the second, Hubbard would screen for Matthews to get the switch so Matthews could back down the smaller guy all second half. Yeah, and a product of that, too, was Ole Miss had to play the small ball lineup in the second half. They for big stretches of that game, they did not have any real size. I know Brakefield's tall, but he's not a big, right? Almost didn't have one. I mean, Brown Jones is coming back off from an injury, and at least last night, Dia was not playable. So, yeah, defensively, they do switch a lot because usually they can guard like 1 through 4, basically the same guy, but they had to go small, and that was what brought them back, but that was also kind of to their detriment as well. It was a pick-your-poison kind of situation there. Hubbard is still mostly a liability on the floor for State. He's having a severe sophomore slump. Yes. I mean, at this point, look, he was 2 of 13 from the field, had 10 points, made 5 of his 7 free throws. But, yeah, he is I don't know yet how to diagnose it or talk about it because, I do think he's an exceptionally good basketball player, but Mississippi State right now has significantly better scoring options. Or at least that to this point have been better scoring options. And he's taking a high volume of shots. And I mean, they're not all good shots. It's not like he's just missing quality looks. There's more to it than that. They've got to figure out a way to unlock him for sure. But anyway. Really good teams don't perform poorly offensively in the first half of five straight SEC games. I mean, I just disagree. I simply disagree. Really good teams are 4-1 with the five games that Ole Miss has played so far. Really good teams hold Alabama on their home floor to 64 points. Yes, like that's a flaw. It's certainly an issue. I'm not saying it's not, but you can have a flaw and still be a really good team. Both teams in the national championship game in football are flawed, but they're still really good teams, elite teams even. Ole Miss is a really good team. They have a flaw. They don't start well offensively, but you can't just dismiss everything else they do well because they have a flaw. It's college basketball. Who doesn't have a flaw? Riley Kugel starting to live up to the first-round talks going into his sophomore year at Florida. Yeah, him coming back healthy was big in that game as well. Ole Miss has some work to do to make sure Texas A&M doesn't bully them on the boards the same way. They basically abandoned Dia for the smaller guard look, but it did get them back into the game in overtime. Yeah, I have a feeling that they're going to be – their manhood is going to be challenged over the next couple of days because State just – they just bullied them. They absolutely bullied them. They've got to get more from Dia and Brown Jones. What was Brown Jones' stat line? I know he's just coming off of an injury, but he only played 9 minutes, missed his one free throw, was a front end of a 1-1, did get four boards, but they're going to need more from their bigs on Wednesday. As poorly as they played, they had a chance at the end to win, losing by three in overtime. Absolutely. Yeah. Not sure if it had anything to do with his health at the moment, but if Morrell gets that bucket, the one that got blocked, we're probably having a different conversation. I think we are having a different conversation. That was a game-changing play. And then, of course, State made the three, and that felt like ball game right there. I mean, that was the game right there. So if you're an Ole Miss fan, you hate that he didn't dunk it. If you're a State fan, you think, I mean, that's one of the greatest sequences in program history in the regular season anyway. I know they've been to a Final Four, but it's one of those. Told the chat group you're in that they didn't have to win last night in terms of the tournament prospects. It was a cake game. Nice to have it, but not a have to have. Terrible first half doomed it. It's exactly what it is. It's, you know, they had chances. I know that Chris Beard was kicking himself after the game. Just about the missed opportunities that they had and stuff like that. But they're still in fine shape. Free throws were terrible too. Both teams, frankly, were bad. Yeah, let's see. Ole Miss was 8 of 14 and State was 17 of 28. So 57% and 61%. Not good. Rivalry aside, if you guaranteed 1-1 this week and you let the fans choose, they should all say Alabama. It cannot be understated how significant that was, and Bama bounced right back. Yeah. If you take the rivalry out, you'd rather have the Alabama win, for sure. That one's going to hold up so well. And frankly, a State win would have held up very well too, I think. But that Alabama win is going to hold. It's one of the best wins in college basketball. Wide receiver room is pretty lethal at this point. Why is it so tough to build up the offensive line? It seems to take high school recruiting and development. Line play, I mean, I think that's part of it. I think they've tried to take the same approach that they've had with other positions to the offensive line, and it hasn't worked. But part of me wonders, and I'm not smart enough to know this for sure, but part of me has questions about coaching. I mean, again, this past season, they returned four starters and brought in four portal guys, two of which from Washington's national championship appearing team, one with 36 starts in the Sun Belt, and Drake May's left tackle. And they got worse. There's something amiss there, and I don't think that you can just turn around and just blame portal for that, because it's also a lack of development from the inside. There's something amiss there, and I just don't think portal strategy is the right answer either. because they've had a mix of all of it and it hasn't worked. So that's why I kind of wonder if it's coaching, if they're failing from a coaching perspective. After looking into it, you like to pick up a wide receiver, 46 catches for 720 with a bum like Drew Aller at quarterback's impressive. Yeah. The linemen of a top level are rare in the portal. Teams tend to hold on to them. They were extremely rare in this cycle as well. Below average offensive linemen were getting paid top dollar. That's how rare they were in this portal. It was brutal. It was a brutal year to need offensive linemen in the transfer portal. Have to get better in the defensive backfield to have a chance next year. That's another position group where they have talent in the room, like raw talent. What is it, like what, 5-4 stars from high school recruiting in the back end of the defense? But if you're not concerned at the moment about secondary play, then I don't think you're doing it right. Could it end up being very good? Of course it could. I wouldn't doubt Pete Golding until he gives you a reason to. But if you're sitting here like, oh, it's fine, it's no big deal at all. Secondary, yeah, it's fine. They've done everything they needed to do in the secondary to continue to play great defense. That's not the approach either. That's not the correct approach. I don't think that's being honest. There's reason to be concerned about the secondary as of this moment. That doesn't mean that they're going to be bad. But there's reason to be concerned about that spot. Ole Miss has the number 3 hardest strength of schedule in the nation right now. They better clean up the first half woes. They just got to get 4 more. Missouri's looking tough. Yeah, everybody. Man, basically everybody's looking tough in the SEC. Before Auburn, it's A&M at Missouri and Texas. That needs to be 2-1 to keep the momentum. I agree. You got to protect your home floor. These are 2 winnable games. A&M better than Texas, of course, but Texas not particularly good. I imagine that's going to be, a unique kind of game, all things considered. But yeah, you got to be 2-1. Got to come out of these next 3 games 2-1. I agree completely. Beard is content losing if they just get outplayed, but getting beat because the other team is tougher than them is something he isn't going to put up with. Yeah, you could tell. If you guys haven't watched his post game, watch his post game. You could tell. This week is going to be a tough week of practice for that team. The SEC is tough as nails this year, and this team is a defensive team. They're not the Kentucky or Florida that's going to score in the 90s. No, that won't happen much. Going to give them a mulligan to work on the rebounding issue because it wasn't like this the previous 4 games. That is absolutely true. But at the same time, it could get worse and become an Achilles heel of the team fast. It really could. He took Dia out because Dia kept shooting outside when Beer wanted him playing inside. Oh, man, Baltimore scored and I guess missed the 2-point conversion. Wow. What a game. What a game. You lost your optimism for Ole Miss basketball 20 years ago? You don't have any of it back right now? 13 in the net, ranked with a win over Alabama on the road? State fan here, it's crazy that both schools have top-level coaches right now. I'm ready to see part 2 of this chess match in Oxford. I am too. I put it on Twitter, but there are people that think, Mason, that both – like there are Ole Miss fans that think this. I don't know how many, but there are some. And there are State fans that think this. I don't know how many, but there are some that think that the schools should just punt basketball and focus all of basketball's money on baseball and football. Like just punt basketball. Oh, we'll never be competitive. We should focus all of our money on baseball. That's what people in both fan bases say. And I don't know how, if you're a State fan that went to that game on Saturday, you can think we don't need to try at this. It's nuts. And there are, again, I don't know how many, but there are Ole Miss fans that think the same thing. And I don't know how you will be able to see what, on a Wednesday night, by the way, what the environment will be on Wednesday, walk into that arena and think, you know what? Why are we wasting our money here? This isn't any fun. This isn't worth our investment. Let's just give it to baseball. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But there are some of them out there. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't try in baseball either. I'm not that guy. But on the offensive line, you mean Pettis got seven figures? Yeah. And I don't think he's as bad. Like, he's the scapegoat for deeper problems on the Ole Miss offensive line. I think that it's not just him that was an issue. I think it's deeper than that. But he's not a high-level offensive lineman. Has never played like one. He's got some talent, but he's not a high-level offense. Not tackle, anyway. And, yeah, he's over $1 million player. That's how bad the offensive line portal group was. How did State punk Ole Miss on the boards, but Alabama didn't the other night? Ole Miss had to play small because for whatever – like I said earlier, I think that State was able to rattle Dia and he couldn't lock in physically. Oh, he dropped it. It was an open pass, but he dropped it. Oh man, I'm so bummed that I'm not watching that. Oh man. What a shame. What a shame. So it's over, right? Baltimore's kneeling it out. Or Buffalo's kneeling it out. Wow. I can't believe I missed the end of that. All just to talk to you guys. I'm kidding. But what a weekend of football. I mean, Rams Eagles was fun. Obviously, Washington last night with Detroit was incredible. Let's see. Reading State and Ole Miss message boards, they are saying Beard was coaching circles around Jans yesterday. I don't know if coaching circles is the phrase that I would use, but like I know, Hunter, you're a State fan. I think that you should be happy. You won the game, right? But after that start, it having to go to overtime makes you fearful, or I think should make you fearful about the return trip to Oxford. Both of those things can be true at the same time. Happy about the win, epic game, all that stuff. You got to wonder what it's going to be like when you go to their place. Oh, man, I thought you lived in Nashville. I'm so sorry you say things are bad out here in SoCal. I've lost my North Hollywood studio to the fires, and so many friends are displaced. Any prayers for us innocent people out here are appreciated. Peace, man. I'm so sorry to hear that. For some reason, I thought you guys were based in Nashville. I did not know that you were out there in California. Man, I'm so sorry to hear that, and I'm glad to see you. Glad that you're okay. Very much appreciate you checking in despite all that, but absolutely, man. I'm sorry that you're going through that and dealing with that. I did not realize that you were out in California. Sorry, man. Say NFL refs are undefeated. Now, please go let Buffalo beat the crap out of the Chiefs. I'm not a conspiracy guy. I'm not. Because I don't think that Mahomes is officiated the way he is because it's a conspiracy. I do think, though, he is now clearly baiting officials. And, like, let me rephrase that. I don't think it's a conspiracy. Mahomes does get officiated differently. Let me, like, scratch that from the record and let me rephrase it. Mahomes is officiated differently. I don't think it's like a concerted effort. I think that he baits them. And I think that he does things like late slides and hit like runs to the sidelines and then slows up to get hit, that kind of stuff. I think that he is baiting cheap flags and he's getting away with it and keeps getting away with it. He did not get away with a flop last night, which I appreciated. But he baits bad flags, and the league needs to stop it because it's embarrassing. I loved Troy Aikman and Joe Buck going in on that, and nothing's going to change because Mahomes is the billion-dollar quarterback. whatever. So I'm just wasting time talking about it. But the baiting of fouls is a joke. I watch a lot of NBA because of the Pelicans, even though they have stunk out loud until recently. But NBA players do it, and they bait fouls, and officials bail them out all the time. And they've tried to get away from it, especially when you get past a guy and you, like, stop just to get him to run into your back and all that crap that they do. They've tried to get away from that some, but it still happens in the NBA. Now you've got a quarterback baiting bad flags, and it's so frustrating. It is so, so frustrating. And, yes, I think I like Josh Allen. I like the Bills. If I am rooting for anybody in the AFC Championship, it is Buffalo. It is absolutely Buffalo. Love the fire blows your mind how fans of both schools view basketball. You're one of the best. Thank you, man. Can't believe Super Talk pays Richard all these millions over you and Haydad. Oh, man. Haydad and I have had a lot of fun in these days without Richard. So I hope you guys have too, because I like working with Haydad. It's a good time. But anyway. Thank you guys for being here. Appreciate you. We'll be back. We'll go live on Tuesday, Snowpocalypse 2025. We'll just go live on Tuesday and then also Wednesday after the game. So we'll triple up this week. We'll go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Why not, right? Why not? So I'll see you then. I'll see you on Tuesday night. Y'all be good. Be safe in the snow if it hits you before. It will hit you before we're live on Tuesday. So be safe out there. And hopefully it happens, because I got a 5-year-old that needs it to happen. So I'll see you guys on Tuesday night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.